Matthew chapter 13, 37 to 43. And he answered and said unto them, He that soweth the seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears, let him hear.
Well, good evening, everyone. Good to see each and every one of you. Always thankful for the opportunities we have to open up God's Word and certainly study it and take some lessons away from it. For this month, we've kind of selected the book of Matthew as our book of the month. And we have really been kind of looking at chapter 13. And we've been looking at parables. We've looked at one so far. We looked at the parable of the sower. We got to see some lessons, I think, that definitely apply to evangelism and getting the word out, but also a lesson applying to our hearts and how we receive the word of God. And we got to see in the parable of the sower that the word of God can be received in different ways. It can be received or not received by a not understanding heart, which was kind of the first one. Then we kind of have the picture of someone that's not rooted. The idea that when trials and tribulations and persecutions come, that person does not have the root they need, so they will not be a fruitful Christian. We also have the picture of the roots and then the thorns, coming up and being a picture of a heart that receives the word, but yet is choked and doesn't become fruitful because of the cares of this world. And then we have the seed coming on good soil and that individual being fruitful. This evening, we'd like to look in Matthew chapter 13 at the parable of the wheat and the tares. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons that we could think about why Jesus used parables. You know, parables defined many times as an earthly story with a heavenly or spiritual meaning. But Jesus, being the master teacher, I think Jesus understood the use of stories and illustrations to get across points. And he would use these parables to try to get across a moral and spiritual truth. And because he kind of packed them in these stories, really they could easily be remembered and they could be thought about, I think, from multiple perspectives and really come to a conclusion of what Jesus really after. So many times when you see Jesus utilize a parable, Jesus actually gives purposes for using parables. And one of those was the idea that, you know, people that really wanted to understand could speak and they could understand. But many times, the parables could come almost across as a little bit cryptic because you have to dedicate some time to make sure you understand the parable. So people that didn't care would just run off and they wouldn't listen. People that did care would certainly invest the time. I think there's a lot of truth in that scriptures today to that point, is that I think the scriptures can be understood. But if you think you're going to understand the scriptures without putting some time and effort, I think you are mistaken. But many times, Jesus would actually use parables to really point out hypocrisy, to really point out pretenders or individuals that were not obeying a certain truth or certain aspect, and the parable would really hit them really where it counted, hopefully in their heart, and make a change in their lives. But parables, a great teaching tool. Let's look at chapter 13, verses 24 and following. We have the parable, and Brother Denny read for us the explanation of the parable. And starting in verse 24, it says, Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. says, but when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servant of the owner came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? And he said to them, an enemy has done this. The servant said to him, do you not want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and at the time of harvest I shall say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Brother Jenny read the explanation, and I really don't want to go, you know, too much farther than the explanation, although I think there are principles that apply to our Christian lives, apply to the church, and apply to the world. But in the explanation, Jesus really lays it out. We have a sower in this case, and the sower is said to be the Son of Man. We have a field, and the field is the world. We have good seed, and these good seed are really the sons of the kingdom. We have the tares, the sons of the evil one. We have the enemy, which is the devil. We have the harvest, which is the end of the age, and we have reapers, which I believe to be a reference to the angels. Something that has always got me about this parable. I think we can understand it, we can look at it, we can understand that God is really sowing his seed, and we understand that as this world goes, we also have the devil sowing his seed. And we also see the idea that we will be growing together. Now some people try to tie this directly to church, and I think that there can certainly be some application to that, but when you go through the explanation of the parable, I think you see a picture of the world. And I think it is a picture of the world when we think about it, is that evil and good people will be side by side. And if you would go after the evil people, you would also, I think, also get some of those good people. I mean, I think God can separate, but in the illustration, the story, the idea is they have to grow together. Just like in a field, they're going to have to grow together. We're going to have evil individuals around us as we grow. And then at the end of time, there will be a harvest and there will be a separation. You know, some people, I think that this separation is never going to happen. They think we have a world of wheat. And if you don't think that people think there's a world of wheat, all you have to do is show up to a funeral. You know, we have some brothers in Christ that run funeral homes. I've known a few in Ohio. I've known one in West Virginia. And it's interesting, you talk to some of those individuals, what they've seen over the course of time. You know, they said there'll be somebody in the casket, and they'll have everything in that casket known to man. Every abuse of thing, you know, they'll have alcohol in there. They'll even put, like, just crazy things in there. And then he says whoever gets up to do the funeral will just, you know, this person was a great guy. They got a whole bunch of sinful stuff in the casket with them. You know, and some of the people even share stories about not good things the person did, but things that they did that was not good. It's almost like we have this picture of the world where it's all wheat and there's no tares. There is evil in this world, and we don't have to go too far to see it. But one thing that, whenever I read this parable, that always hits me, it's in verse 25. It says, another parable he went forth to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept. Not that I want to get off script of the parable, but that idea definitely consumed my thoughts this week. While men slept. While men slept. You know, a lot of bad things happen sometimes when we sleep. Sleep physically, yes, but sometimes we kind of are asleep at the wheel. Maybe we're asleep at the wheel as a parent. Maybe we're asleep at the wheel in our spiritual labors in the Lord's field. Maybe we are sleeping. And I think there's a picture that's given here that just kind of hits my mind. Bad things happen when we're asleep at the wheel. If we fall asleep on the job, that's not a good thing. If we fall asleep at the wheel, that's not a good thing. You know, falling asleep, I understand it's a part of life. I tell you, while you're sleeping, a whole lot of bad can happen. And I think about that a lot. You know, you think about Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33 talks about a watchman. And it really talks about the obligations of a watchman. It says, you know what, if an enemy comes and the watchman blows the horn and tries to warn all the people, you know what, that watchman did his job. But if the watchman falls asleep and the watchman does not blow the horn and does not warn people, then that watchman has some accountability. And you know what, I think that comes to us as we think about our lives as New Testament Christians, as we think of ourselves as parents, as grandparents, as members of the Lord's church, as servants of the Lord, are we falling asleep at the wheel? Because as we look at this story, it's certainly good. There's some sowing that's going on with the good. But it says, while men sleep, and then it starts talking about the evil one. It starts talking about the devil. I think there are many mistakes that are made, but perhaps one of the mistakes that is made many times is thinking that evil will stop. That evil will take a break. That evil will get to a point where evil will, where Satan will throw up his hands and say, my work is done. I don't know if the devil stops. And I fear that while we are sleeping, we can see the great damage that Satan can do, that Satan can accomplish. You understand that while you are sleeping, the devil is acting. And certainly, you think about physical sleep. I know we need physical sleep, but I'm talking about kind of sleeping at the wheel, sleeping on the job, sleeping on things that should be done that are left undone. Are we sleeping while the devil is acting? The devil doesn't take breaks. It doesn't appear. Now, we do see he goes after people, and then he leaves until an opportune time, but I think he's always working. He's always got something up his sleeve, someone that he's always working on, a setup that he's working up to try to tempt people, to try to have persecution and trials in people's lives that could take them away from the Lord, to have the worldly cares that come after people that could get them away from Christ. Satan's always at work. We go to Genesis, in Genesis chapter 3, we see Satan go to work on Adam and Eve. And it doesn't take them too long to make an impact on their lives. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, it says, be sober, be diligent, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Are we asleep as parents? Are we asleep as grandparents? Are we asleep as brothers and sisters in Christ? Are we asleep as deacons, elders, elders' wives, deacons' wives? Are we asleep while Satan's at work? Satan is in the field. Satan is working. And you think about that idea, certainly we have this picture of the Son of Man sowing and Satan sowing, but I think you have the idea also of the workers of these individuals. Satan's got his workers, and God's got his workers, and what type of work are we doing? Are we sleeping on the job? In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is going to keep up his attack. He is going to persist. He is not going to give up. And you know, I think a great mistake that's been made in this nation, that I think maybe perhaps is continuing to be made in this nation, is people think if we negotiate with evil, if we compromise with evil, it will just give up. It will just go away. And it doesn't. You give an inch, they're next time coming for a foot. You give a foot, next time they're coming for a yard. You get a yard, next time they're coming for the football field. Evil persists. Evil will not stop. And there's only one answer, and the answer is get to work and push back. Resist the devil and put up a fight. And sometimes I wonder, are we putting up a fight, or are we just falling asleep in the field which God has given? Satan is crafty, he is scheming, he will do whatever he can in his power to make sure that people are manipulated and taken away from the truth. In John chapter 8, verse 44, it says, you are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Satan's doing a lot of work in the field. Satan is doing a lot of work in our society, in our government, in our schools, even in the church itself. Satan is always at work. You understand that while you're sleeping, Satan is acting. And as a parent, that's something that creeps into my mind quite often. Is, am I getting outworked by the devil? Am I getting outworked by the world? Am I getting outworked by evil? I don't like to be outworked. Maybe that comes from my dad, and that comes from my grandpa, you know, setting very good examples down the line. I don't like to be outworked. But sometimes I wonder, are we asleep at the wheel? Are we asleep as Satan is working? We can't afford not to be on guard. We can't afford to be asleep when Satan is at work. We must be on guard. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11 says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Unfortunately, I think that sometimes Christians are. They are ignorant of Satan's devices. They will not dedicate time to study, to really understand what Satan has used, what he used in the Old Testament, what he used in the New Testament, understand what Satan's going to come after you with, trials, tribulations, persecutions, cares of the world. He's going to come after each and every one. And are we ready for such things? Or does Satan take advantage of us? Because he has outworked us. He has outprepared us. Because we were asleep at the wheel. Now, I know that we need physical sleep. I understand that. But sleep so many times in the Bible is connected to laziness. And particularly throughout the book of Proverbs, really sleep is really connected directly to laziness. Let me just read, there's many book, Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 13, Proverbs chapter 24 verses 33 and 34. I mean, there are so many things sprinkled throughout Proverbs. But let me read this one passage, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. It says, "Go to the ant, you sluggard, consider her ways, and be wise. Which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer, and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man." It says, look at the ant. The ant makes sure that the work that needs to get done, gets done. And you know, that's kind of sad. As you go through the book of Proverbs, it's like, you know what, man? Take note of the ant. Because the ant is kind of responsible. The ant is making sure that the work that needs to be done, gets done. And you know what? It's kind of stressed about the ant. The ant doesn't have an overseer or a ruler. So many times people have to have that boss right over them saying, get this done, get this done, get this done. It's almost like God's saying we've got to have a little bit of an inner drive within ourselves to say, you know what, we're going to get this work done because it needs to get done. Now I think in Proverbs chapter 6, it's talking about physical work. It's talking about physical work. But you know what? I think that we have to think at least for a second about our spiritual work. Are we lazy when it comes to the spiritual work? Are we like the sluggard? Are we falling asleep when we should not be falling asleep? Are we folding our hands when we should be at arms, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 6, that we put on the whole armor of God, that we're ready for this great battle? Are you ready for battle? Are you ready to just fold your hands and go to sleep? While you're sleeping, understand this. And this keeps me up at night. If Satan's working. While you're sleeping, Satan is working. We need each and every one to make sure that we are prepared, that we are preparing ourselves. I understand that we need physical sleep. So you know, you think about like competition. You know, you look at, I was a basketball player, so, you know, I think about Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant. Some of those guys, when they get interviews, it's very interesting what they say. When you talk about Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, it's interesting watching some of their interviews. Magic says he would stay up late at night shooting shots because of Larry. Larry said he would stay up shooting shots because he was thinking of Magic. He says, well, I know my competition's working. I know my competition is getting ready, so I'm going to make sure that I do everything that I can so I'm ready. Do we do that same thing when it comes to spiritual things? Satan's working while we're sleeping. Satan is working when we take a break. Satan is working when we sink into our comfort zone and don't do the work of the church that we know should be done. Are we working the way that we should? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, it says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." There is work to do as a Christian. And understand that the evil one is working as well. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, it says, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Are you asleep in your service to the Lord? Are you asleep, perhaps, in relation to your teaching of the Word? Are you asleep in the worship process? In James chapter 4 and verse 7, it says, "Resist the devil and he will flee from you." And I wonder sometimes, are we resisting? Or are we just sleeping? Understand that while you're sleeping, Satan is acting. Also, number two, which I think is worthy enough to have its own point, not only is Satan acting, but Satan is trying to deceive. And Satan is so subtle many times in his deception. He does this through people that were around. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33, it talks about that idea, evil company corrupts good morals. Satan is very subtle in the way that he tries to turn the heart of individuals, men and women, away from God. Now, I can be quite honest, I don't know a whole lot about tares, I don't know a whole lot about wheat, but as I read about it, is they look about the same until they reach maturity. You think about how subtle the devil is. He goes to the field, he sows this seed, you're not going to see it for a couple months. You might not see it for, you know, a little while. It's going to take a little bit of time. The wheat and the tares grow together, they look the same until about harvest time. And then about harvest time, now all of a sudden they look different. Understand that the devil is very subtle. The devil is planting his seed, and he's trying to impact you next year. He's trying to impact you 2 years from now. He knows he's got a little bit of time on his hands. He doesn't have to win everybody today, so he's going to try to win small little battles each and every day. Well, maybe I can get them not to come to the Assembly of the Saints. Just one time, and then it's 2 times, and then it's 3 times, and then it's 4 times, and before you know it, they've kind of drifted away. Satan works very subtly. And certainly we can know things by their fruit, but there's this idea that Satan is doing everything he can to manipulate and turn people away from what they should be doing. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says this. It says, "Having a form of godliness, but denying its power, and from such people turn away." There are many people out there in the world, you know, the wheat and the tares, sometimes they look very similar. And you think about that, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5, it says there's some people that have a form of godliness, but denying its power, and it says from such people turn away. You know, sometimes the wheat and the tares can look similar. And sometimes people fall for that trap, and they get involved with the tares, and they don't get involved with the wheat. They look very similar. Satan is doing everything in his power to deceive individuals. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 14 and 15, the Bible says this. It says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their work." Satan's workers can almost look like, they do look like many times, good people. You got to do a little bit of investigation. You have to dig down. You know, I think in our society, if anyone has pastor or preacher as a label, they just immediately think that's a good guy. Some of the worst people that I know have the label of pastor or preacher. Some of the worst people I know what they've done to widows. I know what they've done to individuals. Some of the worst people I know carry those labels. But you know what? They appear like they're doing a whole lot of good. Sometimes they'll have a big TV program. Sometimes it looks like they're trying to get all this money to give to somebody, which they just put in their own pocket. There's a lot of evil out in the world. We need to test all things and hold fast to that which is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. We need to test the spirit. First John chapter 4 and verse 1. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have went out into the world. Satan is always acting, and Satan is always trying to deceive. And I think, how often do we try to preach the truth? In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 15, it says, "Beware of false prophets who come in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Satan is working in the field. Are we working in the field? Satan is trying to teach false doctrine. Are we trying to teach the truth? You say, well, that's the preacher's job. I can tell you, our lives, our examples, and your interactions touch people's lives. I usually try to describe it as a pond. You know, you think of a pond, I'm just one rock, just as you're one rock. When you throw my rock in the pond, I'm going to make a ripple. And I'm going to try to make the biggest ripple I can as I go through this life. And your ripple and my ripple, sometimes they do overlap. But I can tell you this, I can guarantee you this, your ripple is not the same as mine. You understand that, don't you? Your ripple and my ripple, they can overlap, but some of your ripple touches places that I will never touch. Touch hearts that I will never touch. I hope I get to touch them. I hope I get to see them. I hope I get to be around them. But to be honest with you, it's just not the reality of the situation. Is that your ripple is different than mine. You will touch people that I will never get to be around, perhaps, and never get to influence. Your ripple is very special. And you need to affect your area of the field. You're going to have some cares around you in the world, and you need to say, hey, let's become some wheat. And watch out for the devil, because the devil is just trying to make more of his followers and lead people away from the truth. While you're sleeping, Satan acts. While you're sleeping, Satan tries to deceive. And while you're sleeping, you know what the devil makes more of than anything else? The devil makes pretenders. You know, the word hypocrite is many times found throughout the Bible. A lot of times we throw out the term. You know, hypocrite is really associated with the idea of almost being an actor. The way that I've heard you just say it is pretender. If you see hypocrite, many times you could just put pretender there and it would really carry about the same weight and the same value. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus confronting some individuals there, and he says, hypocrite. Well, let's just sub in pretenders. He says, pretenders! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you. You draw near to me with your mouth and honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me, and in vain do you worship me, teaching as doctrine the commandments of men. Pretenders! You speak a good game. You draw near to me with your mouth, you honor me with your lips, and say, Jesus, Jesus, we're on your side, you want to do what you want us to do, but he says, your heart is far from me, in vain do you worship me. You worship me in a worthless way, an empty way. Why? Because you're following the commandments of men. The doctrine, the teaching, and commandments of men. There's a lot of pretenders out there. And actually, when I started to study the tares and the wheat, I started to really realize that they look about the same until harvest. There's a lot of pretenders out there. There's a lot of individuals that perhaps look like they're Christian, but there is going to be a judgment. And I think the Bible really paints that out for us. In the same chapter, it talks about the parable of the dragnet. Verses 47 through 50. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good of the vessel, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. You know, many have said that Jesus thought more about hell than he did heaven. When you look at almost the end of a lot of these parables, it always ends with judgment many times. A lot of these parables just end with judgment. And it ends with judgment in relation to pretenders, individuals that have fallen for false teaching and are following Satan's lies. The followers of Satan are going to be gathered up and they are going to be burned. We see this at the end of so many parables. We can see it sprinkled throughout the New Testament. Matthew chapter 8, Matthew chapter 13, Matthew chapter 24. We see this idea of judgment. We see this idea of separation. We see the idea of separating the good and bad. There will be a judgment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one will receive the things done in his body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Just because someone claims that they're a Christian doesn't mean they are. And many of those individuals will be around us. While you're sleeping, what is Satan doing? Satan is acting, Satan is deceiving, Satan is rising up pretenders all around. And certainly Satan has accomplished a whole lot in the last few years in our country. The question is were we sleeping? If we were sleeping in the past, there's nothing we can do about the past, but certainly we can handle our actions moving forward. Have I been working as hard as Satan in the field? Satan is acting, am I acting? Satan is deceiving, am I trying to teach the truth? Satan is trying to make pretenders, are you trying to make followers of Jesus Christ? Evil persists. It must be addressed. We have to resist. And we cannot resist if we're sleeping on the job. Perhaps this evening you need to become a New Testament Christian. Perhaps you need the prayers of the church. We'd love to help you in any way that we can. And if you come, as we stand, as we sing.